When it comes to popular Christmas gifts, there are different items every year that are coveted, if you will, by the masses. For example, in 1983, every little girl couldn't live without a Cabbage Patch Kid. And in 1985, they were all hoping to get that plush, cuddly Care Bear. In 1989, everyone wanted Nintendo's new Game Boy. And in 1995, well, Beanie Babies were all the rage. They're going to be worth so much one day, right? In 1996, parents were scrambling to purchase their child a Tickle Me Elmo doll. And in 1998, the Christmas favorite was a little demonic doll known as Furby. Now, as we consider this ever-changing list of coveted Christmas gifts, it should be obvious to us that the trends of what kids want from year to year is, well, it's usually based on the current infatuations of whatever's popular. At the same time, while some gifts come and go, there are some gifts that kids will always want. And as parents here probably already know tonight, one out of three kids, here in America at least, they're eventually going to ask for some sort of pet as a Christmas gift. It's for this reason that the number of pet adoptions, well, it tends to increase during the month of December. And as we consider the way that many parents are preparing to bring an adopted pet into their families this Christmas, I can't help but to think about the way in which the Christmas story, well, it's actually all about God's plan to adopt us into His heavenly family. And so the title of our message tonight is The Awesome Adoption. In order to explain what I mean, we should take some time to consider what Paul was saying here in Galatians chapter 4. If you would look with me, it's there on the screen. There Paul writes, "When the right time came, God sent His Son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent Him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that He could adopt us as His very own children." Now here in these verses we find Paul, he's writing about that first Christmas day when the Virgin Mary gave birth to our Savior Jesus. And when it comes to the biblical Christmas story, it's easy for us to focus our attention on those classic characters who are found in the traditional nativity scenes. However, in Paul's account of this glorious morning when Jesus Christ was born, he didn't focus our attention on the shepherds. He didn't describe the arrival of the wise men, nor did he mention the appearance of that preteen percussionist who allegedly showed up to play a drum solo for the baby Jesus, you know, like all newborn babies love. Well, rather than focusing on these Christmas characters, Paul took this opportunity to focus our attention on the purpose of Jesus' birth. As a matter of fact, if you would look with me again there on the screen, verse 5, Paul tells us there that God sent Him, speaking of Jesus, to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law so that He could adopt us as His very own children. Or in other words, God sent His only begotten Son on that first Christmas day so that we could become part of His heavenly family through spiritual adoption. Now, as we continue to consider what Paul is writing here, I think it would be good for us to drill down a little deeper into this verse. And the reason why is because there are many people in the world today who believe in what we call the universal fatherhood of God. Based on this, they believe that we're all children of God, automatically just by nature of our human birth. However, Paul here assures us in this verse that Jesus came so that we might become the adopted children of God. There's a potential here for us to become the adopted children of God. Therefore, it would be wrong for us to think that we're automatically the children of God simply because we're alive. To further prove my point, it's important for us to understand that every person falls into one of two categories. There are those who have become the adopted children of God, and then there are those who are still slaves to the law. This is precisely what Paul is saying here in this text. If you would, look with me again there at verse 5. There Paul tells us that God sent him to buy freedom. He was sent to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law so that he could adopt us as his very own children. From this we see then that every person is either a slave to the law or they've become an adopted child of God. Now, since we're all born the sons and daughters of Adam, then we're all born under the curse of Adam. Therefore, we're all bound to be judged, slaves to the law. The law will eventually have its say in our life. Thankfully for us, Jesus came on that first Christmas day, and he did so in order to purchase the possibility of our freedom through the shedding of his blood on the cross. Now, through his death on the cross, every person has the opportunity to become an adopted child of God by faith in Jesus Christ. And much like the pets there at the kennel who have been freed from their kennel cage, those pets that have been spared from certain death, much like that, the Lord wants to adopt every unbeliever here this evening so that we can all be freed from the bondage of the law's condemnation. The question then that we ought to be asking on this Christmas Eve is this: have I been adopted into the forever family of God? Or am I still stuck in the kennel of spiritual bondage? Well, in order to answer this question, it'll help us to understand how a person is adopted into the forever family of our Heavenly Father. But this is our focus. If you would look with me there at the screens again, we're looking at John chapter 1. I want to begin reading at verse 10. There John tells us that Jesus came into the very world he created, but the world did not recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. Note this, though. To all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. Now, here in these verses, we find the Lord, he's presenting us with basic instructions for being adopted into the forever family of our Heavenly Father. Notice with me again there at verse 12, where we learn that those who believe him and accept him, all who believed in him and accepted him. John's telling us here that it takes belief and acceptance. And those who will believe him and accept him, John tells us that they have the right to become the children of God. It'll help us to know that this word believe, well, it comes from a Greek word which speaks of complete trust. John's saying whoever completely trusts him. That word also speaks of confident conviction. If you have the confident conviction that Jesus Christ is Lord and that he is your Savior, and not only that, but also accept him. Notice again in verse 12, to all who believed him and accepted him. So it's one thing to say, well, yeah, I believe that Jesus exists. Yeah, I believe that he's God incarnate. Well, listen, the demons believe that, and they tremble. So there's plenty of people in the world today who intellectually believe that Jesus is God incarnate, that he is the Savior of the world, and that he died on the cross for our sins, and yet they haven't yet accepted the free gift of grace that God has supplied through his only begotten Son. Verse 12 again, to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. That word accept was translated from a Greek word which was used to refer to those who would receive what has been offered by another person. Therefore, those who trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ, they're they've been given this free gift of grace. So when we believe Him and accept Him, we're accepting or receiving the free gift of forgiveness. And as a result, we become the adopted children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. This is precisely why Jesus came on that first Christmas day over 2,000 years ago. And listen, not only do those who believe in Jesus and receive the grace of His forgiveness become the children of God, but listen, this adoption is a gift of God's grace which keeps on giving. It's a gift we receive once, and yet it's a gift that continues to produce more grace in our life. Not only that, but it's a gift that provides us with an everlasting inheritance. And with this in mind, if you would look with me there at Galatians chapter 4, we're going to begin reading at verse 4. There, Paul writes, "When the right time came, God sent His Son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent Him to buy freedom for us, who were slaves to the law, so that He could adopt us as His very own children. And because we are His children, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, 'Abba, Father.' Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are His child, God has made you His heir." Here in these verses, Paul is helping us to understand that those who place their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ will become the adopted children of God. And as the children of God, we've become heirs of an everlasting inheritance. I love how Paul put it here in his letter to the Christians in Rome. If you would look with me there at Romans 8, beginning at verse 14, there Paul assures us, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, 'Abba, Father.' The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together." Here in these verses, Paul helps us to understand that those who have received the Spirit of adoption have become co-heirs with Christ. And listen, there are eternal riches in Christ. Therefore, if you're a co-heir with Christ, then you have the same inheritance, everlasting riches that are found in Jesus. Therefore, those who place their faith in Christ can also have great confidence in knowing that God the Father has accepted us into His heavenly family, and not only that, but we can rest assured that He has reserved for us this everlasting inheritance, which is, according to the Bible, incorruptible. It'll never go bad. It's undefiled. It didn't start off bad. And it won't fade away. It won't be devalued. The economy of heaven is never going to collapse. It'll be an inheritance that always holds its perfect value and will enjoy it forevermore. Well, with all this in mind, I'd like to wrap up this Christmas Eve message. And as I do, I would ask you again, have you entered into the adoption of God the Father by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Or are you still stuck in the kennel of spiritual bondage? You know, some pets there at the kennel, they're waiting to be adopted, and yet no one ever chooses them. And it's a sad end for those animals. But that's not the story for humans. God has already chosen us for salvation. The question is, will you receive the salvation that He's chosen for you? If not, if you're still stuck in that carnal kennel, if you will, that's your choice. Because the Lord's ready to free you. He's already purchased our freedom by dying on the cross. I was at Starbucks earlier today studying for this message, and there was a couple sitting next to me. We were all very close, and so I could hear what they were talking about. And they were talking about last year's Christmas service at their church. And they really didn't understand why their priest had talked about the death of Jesus Christ on the night that they should be celebrating his birth. And the husband or boyfriend, he said, yeah, he brought up the death of Jesus on Christmas Eve, and I don't understand. Why would you talk about his death on the day that he was supposed to be born? Well, I couldn't just sit there and not say anything. And so I leaned in and I said, well, sorry, we're so close, I couldn't help to hear your conversation. And if you'd like, I could answer that question for you. And they said, sure. And so I began to let them know that the birth of Jesus means nothing unless there is a death, a burial, and a resurrection. If Jesus was just born and that's that, well, welcome to Any Baby USA. His birth is significant because he came to buy our freedom. And it was on the cross where he took our punishment, where his blood was shed. That's when he purchased our freedom and gave us the right to become children of God. And so you don't have to be stuck in that spiritual kennel. You can be free. The Lord's already paid for your release. But it's a gift, much like Christmas. And you know, tomorrow, you're probably going to have some gifts underneath that tree, and I wonder if there's going to be any gift that you would look at and say, nah, I'm not going to open that. No, I don't want to receive that gift. Probably not. Granted, you might take some of them back. But the Lord Jesus Christ has purchased the gift of freedom for us. Why would you want to sit any longer in the bondage of that carnal kennel when you can become a child of God? If you find yourself tonight sitting in the kennel of your own carnality, then I encourage you and I'll remind you that God the Father is waiting for you to believe in the Son that He sent, so that you can receive the gracious gift of forgiveness that Jesus purchased when he died upon the cross. Let's pray. Lord Jesus,